of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company? Yeah.
Yes, sir. It is Wisdom Wednesday. That's right. Taking Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have an outstanding show for you on today. Today's topic, that's right, six powerful secrets to unleash your ministry best. Six powerful secrets to unleash your ministry best. That's today's conversation. And let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. That's right. It's your boy, your host, Mr. Dana L. King. And you're listening to Taking Limits Off Radio. The number to call in is area code 347-934-0546. Area code 347-934-0546. If you've already called in and you want to be a part of the show, you want to make a comment or ask a question, feel free to push 1, and that'll let us know you're in the queue, and we'd love to hear your comment on the show. If you are already on social media, you can follow us on facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. You can find us right there. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet us at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet us at TTLO Radio. You can find us right there. If you want to watch the simulcast of the show, simply go to Ustream.tv, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Again, go to Ustream.tv, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us right there as well. If you want to email the show, Taking the Limits Off at Comcast.net, Taking the Limits Off at Comcast.net, and you will find us right there. You can email the show. We love to read that email over the airwaves. And last but not least, iTunes. If you want to download the podcast, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Simply go to the podcast section and do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Hit the subscribe button. Won't cost you a dime, and you can be a part of our show right there. Woo! I'm going to catch my breath real quick because, as y'all can see, bro was running. So I'm going to catch my breath real, real quick, and I'll be right back. All right? Give me about a good, I don't even need that much time. Yeah, just give me give me a real quick 30 seconds. That's all. That's all. Just give me a quick 30 seconds, and we'll be right back, y'all. TTLO. Stay blessed.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See how quick that was? Didn't take no time at all. Amen. Probably needed a 30 more seconds, but I ain't going to trip. Anyway, hey, y'all, look, it has been a crazy week. You got the Republican National Convention has started. It started on Tuesday. No, on Monday. It started on Monday. And since we were last here, we've heard all types of things. Everybody is still talking about the Melania Trump speech from Monday night, where she pretty much quoted verbatim parts of Michelle Obama's 2008 speech, and that in itself was comical. And what's so interesting is I mean, literally, this is where. You know, 10, 15 years ago, it would have taken some weeks for people to find this. It would have taken some weeks for people to be able to piece these things together. And you know, it would have came and went, and we wouldn't have been the wiser. But this is where the internet comes in very, very handy, because immediately during the speech, and I'm not talking about a few hours, immediately during the speech, Twitter went crazy, because people who follow the political game recognize some of the words she was using, and then they simply did a simple Google search for Michelle Obama's speech, and then all of a sudden they said, "Oh my God, these are the exact same words." Now let me tell you how this feels. I have had this happen to me, and I'm gonna share something with y'all. I preached a sermon. Maybe I shouldn't tell this story. I'm going to tell it anyway. I preached a sermon maybe 3 years ago, and I'm going to tell you this. We had a guest. Now, I don't know if we saved it or if it was something that we broadcast, or we broadcast part of the tape, or I loaded part of the clip onto – this is like Facebook early on. We were still trying to figure out some stuff here at the church. But I preached the sermon. And we had a guest minister during a service. Y'all follow me now. We had a guest preacher, pastor, who preached. And I'm going to tell y'all real quick. There were at least six to seven statements that I wrote verbatim that was in this brother's sermon. I'm going to leave that alone. I just want to put that out there. You know, now here's the deal. If you quote somebody, you're responsible to use that person's name if you're going to use their quote. you can simply say, you know, I heard T.D. Jakes say this, or I heard Bishop Miles Monroe say this, or I heard Apostle so-and-so say this. Just like when I'm reading the Bible, if I'm reading Psalms, I'll say David said this. You know, that's how you give the writer or whatever credit for what they've done. Well, in this particular case, we're talking about this Republican National Committee speech that was given by Ms. Trump, and she pretty much took. I mean, there are segments of it that where she literally only missed two words. And then they have this is the thing about the Trump campaign. They will deny it. They are the ones who you get caught. You remember the old Eddie Murphy? I think it was the Delirious. No, maybe Eddie Murphy Raw. I know this is a Christian radio show. I'm going to get myself in trouble. But I remember Eddie Murphy Raw, and he did this whole thing about men having, you know, we deny stuff all the way to the end. And he talked about getting caught, like cheating, and he kept saying it wasn't me. This is what the Donald Trump campaign says. Every time they get caught with their foot in their mouth, they go, I don't know what you're talking about. Literally, they sit there at every interview that I've seen on neutral radio stations or neutral television stations. Every interview that I've seen, the interviewer plays the video of both her speech and Michelle's speech. And then they turn and ask the Donald Trump campaign or Republican person who represents the Republican Party, they ask them, do you see the similarities? And they literally look into the camera and say, I really don't see it. I really don't see it. Seriously, this is what they say. So watch this now. This just shows you. Now I know some people who act that way too. You know, they can see like the whole place around them burning on fire, and they go, I don't smell no smoke, I don't see nothing. But this is how you know that there is some straight stupidity going on. The person who helped write the speech. This is as of today. What is this? 12 o'clock today, as of 11 o'clock this morning. I'm sorry, last night. No, wait a minute. This is today. Duh. Yeah, 11 o'clock this morning. It says a speechwriter. This is CNN reporting this now. A speechwriter working for Donald Trump's company identified herself on Wednesday as the person responsible for plagiarism in Melania's Trump convention speech, and she offered her resignation. Keep listening now. Keep listening. Her name is Meredith Mecklever, and she apologized in the statement sent out by the campaign and said Donald and Melania Trump did not accept her resignation. She explained that she included the passages from Michelle Obama's speech after listening to Melania Trump read passages from the 2008 speech. She says, over the phone, she read me some passages. Listen now, listen. She read me some passages from Miss Obama's speech as examples, and I wrote them down and later included some of the phrasing in the draft that ultimately became the final speech. She says, I did not check Miss Obama's speeches. This was my mistake. And I feel terrible for the chaos I have caused Melania and the Trumps, as well as to Mrs. Obama. No harm was meant. Now watch this. The statement comes out more than 36 hours after reporters uncovered the similarities, the striking similarities between the two speeches, during which time the controversy cast shadow over the Trump's nominating convention, blah, 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 blah. Now, in that time, here's what I'm talking about, our future supposed to be possible president. In that time, the Trump campaign refused to even acknowledge the incident as plagiarism. And they reverted to slamming the media and insisting it was moving on with no plans to fire anybody. They said the speech was original and that she worked her hardest on it. Now, mind you, the wife said she wrote the majority of the speech by herself. Huh? Somebody help me. She said she wrote the majority of the speech all by herself. I don't hear nobody. And then they want to break it down to she used similar words to Obama's. Now it's she used similar words. And then they tried to say, then watch this. They tried to say the media at the behest of Hillary is attacking another woman. Can I talk about it? Can I talk about it? Let me say it like this. No, boo-boo. You got on TV and read somebody else's stuff, tried to pass it off as your own, and then had the nerve to get mad. Your husband got mad. Your husband says, no, he hires the best people. That's what he says he's known for. He says that's why he's so successful, because he hires the best people. That's what he says. He hires the best people. So who is this speechwriter that did not take the time to check the words? There's a real simple thing. When I had to write papers in school, and any of you guys that have been to college or had to write papers and paper, you had to do any type of papers and term papers or any of that stuff. Anytime you had to do that, today in this day and age, you can go online. There is plagiarism checkers. Even the school has a program, and you just load your paper into the program, and it will then search and scour the internet. You hear what I'm saying? Telling you, it will search and scour the internet for any similarities, and then it will spit it back out to you and say your paper is either there's a 2% thing that this matches something else, or is this 10 or 11? It gets higher and higher based on how many quotes you've used from somebody else, or just flat out copy and paste it. These people didn't even take the time to do that. But they're the best people. They're the best people. So somebody help me understand. I mean, this is an absolute, this is crazy. Now, in the larger scale of things, it probably means nothing. Seriously, it probably means nothing. But at the same time, the fact that you just deny it and then try to pass it off as the media blowing up over nothing is asinine. It really is. It's asinine to make us want to believe that this is the way you're going to handle business going forth as our possible next commander in chief. Now, I have watched bits and pieces of the Republican National Convention only for purposes of I want to know what they're saying, because I like to hear both sides. I really do. And one of the things that I have noticed, and yes, I understand this is a Christian radio show, so y'all calm down. It's okay, because this stuff is important. You need to know who your leaders are. One of the things that I have noticed is not one person who has gotten up to speak has spoke about a plan that Donald Trump has. The only things that he has stated is he wants to build a wall to keep out all of the illegal Mexicans coming from Mexico, and that he's going to make Mexico pay for it. And the other thing is he wants to outlaw any Muslims from coming into this country. Those are the two things that he has stood on. He has not put one plan out that says how he's going to get some jobs. Not one. And even the staunchest Republicans, the George Bushes of the world, the Mitt Romneys of the world, none of these people are still endorsing Donald Trump. Now, if that don't tell you how split they are about this dude, if that don't tell you what's really going on about this dude, I don't know what else to tell you. But this is where we are. This is where we are in this country. Now don't get me wrong, because let me make sure I say this. I am not a big fan of Hillary Clinton. I wasn't a big fan of Hillary when she was running against President Obama. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend to you over these here airwaves that I'm a big fan of Hillary today. But what I will tell you is this. If those are my only two choices, I can tell you the one I can tell you what I ain't going to do. Now you can talk about, you know, he's his business acumen. Okay, that's wonderful. And people have to file bankruptcy. I get that. People do it when they have to protect themselves and want to protect their investments and assets and all of that. I get that. But if I'm not mistaken, he's filed bankruptcy three times. Three. And then there are people who Donald Trump has a history, or his company has a history, of not paying people for services rendered. This ain't speculation. So he has a history of hiring vendors, because this is what happens when you have people, when you're doing campaigns and they come out and they hang signage and all this stuff for you. You know, they come and do the work, and then they send you an invoice, and then you cut the check. The problem has come for years. People are still waiting on checks. But you're a billionaire. But I guess that's how they stay rich. You ain't got to pay your bill. That's how you stay rich. You don't got to pay your bill. Maybe I need to get a little more money so I can stop paying mine. I mean, I'm just saying. Maybe I need a little bit more money. Because, see, I guess if you have a lot of money, you don't have to pay your bills. So maybe I need to get a little bit more. Maybe I should have kept working a little bit longer. Maybe I'm just saying. When you got that amount of money, you ain't got to worry about paying your bills, you know. And then you just let them take you to court, and then you got more money than they do, so their lawyers can't fight as long as yours can. So then they end up just saying, forget it. So if that's the key to not paying your bills in this country, make a whole lot of money and then don't pay nobody. I don't know. Oh God, I'm just floored by the lack of creativity at all that this campaign has, and that this is acceptable to people. It's just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing that this happens. So let's move forward. Let's move forward a little bit. I kind of want to stay right here. Have you guys seen the police officer, the sheriff from I think he's from Milwaukee, that's been on all of the Wisconsin, the sheriff from Wisconsin, who's been on all of these television shows? His name is, let me make sure I get this man's name right, Sheriff David Clark. Just Google Sheriff David Clark when you get some chance, when you get a chance. David Clark, last name Clarke. He is this black sheriff. He's the Milwaukee County Sheriff, Milwaukee County. Y'all know Milwaukee County. He's the Milwaukee County Sheriff. And he's known for being on Fox News quite often, but he has been making his way around the I find it interesting that he's able to do all these
because anytime you sing about Jesus, how many of you know there's something about that name? There's something about that name. I want you to listen.
Yeah. So, anyway, as I was saying,
because
yeah, we got
sing about Jesus.
We got kicked off there briefly, y'all. Apologize for that. I'm not sure what happened. It's something with, you know, once again, Blog Talk. Anyway, he's been making this rounds all over the country talking about how there is a hate speech against all police officers, and that he predicted that policemen all over the country were going to be attacked. And this has been his modus operandi for the last year and a half. He's been talking about how this is all because of the Black Lives Matter movement, because they are preaching kill police. This has been his statement for the longest time. And he is on every show. He is on every show talking about the same mess. Now, he's a black man, African-American sheriff, and nonstop he makes the same statements over and over again about how Black Lives Matter is to blame for this all of a sudden outrage against police officers. He says, I've been watching this for 2 years. He says, I predicted this anti-police rhetoric sweeping the country has turned out some hateful things inside of people, and they're now playing themselves out on the American police officer. Now, mind you, that in Baton Rouge this last time, there was a black police officer killed. Yes, the shooter was black this time. But now, mind you, he was also on the news when Officer Glenowitz, y'all know the one I'm talking about, you know, G.I. Joe here in Illinois, he was also on the news defending Officer Glenowitz until Officer Glenowitz's dirty laundry came out. Now, I don't know how you get to blame the Black Lives Matter movement for inspiring this. I don't know how you would think that this is their fault. Now y'all know who Don Lemon is on CNN. Y'all know Don. Don is our favorite newscaster on CNN. He's the favorite newscaster on CNN. You know, he's the brother who always seems to get himself in trouble when he's interviewing folks. But I have to agree with him when he asked him to give some specifics, and he didn't have any. And he says the interview actually had to be stopped because the sheriff would not give him any direct answers to any of his questions. He just started spewing out this rhetoric of Black Lives Matter is the cause. Black Lives Matter is the cause. And I mean, he has more talking points than a white Republican in rural Alabama. I just want to put that out there. But yet, no, I mean, Google him and just watch some of his interviews, and it will make you sick to the stomach. It will make you sick to the stomach. I mean, this is what happens during election years. This is exactly what happens, because every time during an election year, you get all of the crazies. You get all of the crazies who come out of the closet, and they get put on front and central about their beliefs and how they feel. Now, if you think he is the craziest one, after you watch his interview, there is another interview you need to watch. And his last name, the senator's last name, his last name is King. Now, he ain't no relation to me. I'm so glad. I'm so grateful he ain't no relation to me. But his name is Stephen King. He is a Republican from the state of Iowa. He says, in defending his party's reputation consisting of mainly old white people, Republican Steve King of Iowa, Monday questioned, he says, well, what other subgroup of people contributed it more to society than in Western civilization? He says, this old white people business does get a little tired. He says, I'd ask you to go back through history. This is what he said now, and figure out where have all of the contributions that have been made by these other categories of people that you're talking about? Where did any other subgroup of people contribute more to civilization than white folks? This is what he said now. Y'all don't got to believe me. Please Google Representative Steve King. GOP Rep. Steve King, and watch or read the comments for yourself. He pretty much said, we worried about the old white people in the Republican Party. He said, well, what if these other groups of people contributed to the American dream? So pretty much what he's saying is, what have black folks contributed to the American dream? Now, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to give you all a chance. Please Google that. Please Google that. I'm going to take a quick break to see what's going on with our sound. I'm going to be right back, but I'm going to take a real quick break. I think I know what happened, but I'm going to take a real quick break before it happens again. And when we come back, I want to finish this conversation, and I think I'm going to turn on Facebook Live, too, real quick, just to give you all a little bit of what's going on. But it is absolutely amazing to me, how the thought process of this Republican Party who believes now that they are making strides in the minority communities. I'll be right back, y'all. TTL. Man. So look, before I went on break, I asked you all to do a Google search real quick for Representative Stephen King. It's just amazing to me. And I want to go back before I continue with the rest of that conversation. So, you know, earlier we were talking about the Melania Trump. We were talking about the Melania Trump speech. I just want to read some of the emails. She put in here, reading one of the emails from Sister McCurdy. She says she quoted that her mom helped her write the speech. Now, that's a quote, y'all. She said, Melania Trump said her mama helped her write the speech. And so the email says, if her mom did, well, she actually quoted words from Michelle's speech. then she says the writer that was hired, should be punished, especially if she didn't check the woman's speech. Liars, liars, they all liars. You're absolutely right. And then I got to go further. She says, Hillary isn't my favorite either, but if I had to choose between the two, it would definitely not be Trump. My God, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sister McGirtis. You're right about it. You're right about it. I just find it's just amazing. But let me get back to this Representative King. And I'm on Facebook Live. Facebook Live is now up. Facebook Live is now up and running. And I need to tell y'all about this Rep King dude. The Republican Party for years, the conservative Republican Party for years, and this is where I really want to talk, and I have a lot of African-American friends who label themselves as conservative. And a lot of times, because they label themselves as conservative, these are a lot of times the party that they back, because for some reason the conservative party, or better yet the Republican Party, has always been known as the party with morals and upright, being upright and righteous and all of these other things, right? That's the label. And the Democratic side has been known as the liberal, anything goes type of party. And in some ways, they're both right, you know, because it is. Let's not be crazy now. Let's be fair. It was the Democrats that pushed the gay agenda. I ain't gonna even lie about that. That's 100% true. Ain't no way you can get around it. It was the Democrats that pushed that agenda. Even though probably quietly the majority of them did not believe it. But because they had let that money infiltrate the system, let me stay right here for a minute. Let me stay right here for a minute. So this representative, Steve King from Iowa, he wanted to know, other than the white people in this country, what have the minorities done in the history of America to contribute to Western civilization? That's what he said. That's what he said. Now, please forgive me. Please help me, because y'all know I can be a little slow sometimes. And, you know, every now and then, you know, I don't drive to work some days. You know, the little short yellow bus drops me off at the studio some days, because some days I might be a little slow. But he asked the question. This is the Rep. Steve King. Please Google him. I am not playing with you. Google this man. Please read. It's going to come up real quick. It ain't going to take you no but 5 minutes. He wants to know who else, other than the European Americans, the white folk, that's pretty much what he said, other than white people, who have been the major contributors to this country? Let me give you a little bit more about Rep. Stephen King. This is also the man who keeps a Confederate flag on his desk. He keeps a Confederate flag on his desk. And he also says that slavery was just a small part of the Civil War. I'm laughing because it's sad. I'm also laughing to keep myself from cussing on the air. I really am. I'm trying to maintain some semblance of decency while I'm doing this part of this show. But this brother said he wants to know, once again, the question is, what have the minorities in this country done to contribute to the United States? Who has been who's done the majority of the work, and other than the white folks? This is what he said. Can I give a quick history lesson? How much of this country was built on the backs of black folks? Come on now, don't sit there. I see y'all watching on Facebook. I see all y'all watching on Ustream. Don't play crazy with me now. How much of this country was built on the backs of black folks? Now, Now, y'all can take the credit for it if you want to. But who did the work? Huh? I don't hear nobody. Help me understand how you can go on national TV and say that only the white people in this country have contributed to all of the successes of this country. I don't hear nobody. I don't hear nothing but rats peeing on cotton. I don't hear nothing. I want somebody to explain to me how this representative, Steve King, can I go a little bit further? I'm probably going to get myself in trouble, but I stay in trouble anyway. Rep Steve King, I probably need to do an ancestry search because your last name is King. Hell, for all I know, your folks might have owned my folks. Huh? I'm just saying. I don't mean no harm. I'm just telling the truth, y'all. Please help me. All I know, Representative Steve King from Iowa, you say no other race has contributed more to Western civilization than white folks. Y'all read it for yourself. So you telling me the 300, the 400 plus years that we were held in slavery, all of that time we didn't contribute? Oh, I'm sorry, because there's no record, because ain't no W-2s, right? Ain't no W-2s, because we ain't pay no taxes, right? We ain't pay no taxes, right? See, well, let me help you. We ain't pay no taxes, bro, because we wasn't getting paid, bro. We ain't pay no taxes because we ain't had no Social Security numbers. We ain't pay no taxes because technically we were listed as two-thirds of a person. We ain't pay no, don't get me started on what the hell we contributed to this country. Too hot in here. I got on a long sleeve shirt and I'm about to sweat in this Egyptian cotton and it's going to mess my shirt up. I'm about to get mad. I really want somebody help me understand what this man is talking about. But we don't have a race problem in this country. But you're representing the state of Iowa. You get on national TV, on national news, and you make this statement. But we don't have a race problem. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been to the lovely state of Iowa. Had the good pleasure of staying there at back when I was working for Bank One at the time. Had the pleasure of staying in Iowa for about 3 weeks. Had the pleasure of staying there for about 3 weeks. And in my stay, I must admit, it was not a pleasant stay. I just got to tell y'all the truth. It was not a pleasant stay. But one of the things I do know is that in Iowa is a whole lot of folk don't look like me in Iowa. So I can understand how he became the representative in Iowa. I'll go so far as to say I understand his mindset, because that's the mindset of quite a few people. I can tell you, I stayed in a hotel in Iowa that looked outside of my window was a cornfield, and all I saw was corn. I made it a routine daily to leave my hotel and go directly to the place that I had to conduct business for the 2 weeks I was there, because I did not want to be outside at night in Iowa. Now, I don't know, we might have some listeners in Iowa. I apologize if you think I'm talking bad about your place of business, but this is your state representative. This is your representative that represents you in Congress, who got on TV and said that the only people that have really contributed to the welfare and the betterment of Western civilization were white folks. I ain't saying it. He said it. Now, y'all going to have to help a brother out. Help a brother out. Because I just find this to be absolutely insane. I find this to be absolutely insane that this, first of all, let that had have been. Now, let's reverse this. If somebody of African American descent would have gotten on television and made those same comments, they would have said we were preaching and spewing hate. Y'all know I ain't lying. Y'all know I ain't lying. But this is what's allowed to be said on national TV. These are the same people, He keeps a Confederate flag on his desk. And then this is his quote. This is his quote about the Confederate flag. Watch this. He says, the real history of the Civil War, that only part of it was about slavery. He said that nobody minded the Confederate flag until the past year or so, when people started using the flag as a pretext to divide the country. And that y'all need to go back and read real history. This is what he says. He says a small part of it was about slavery, but there was a bigger part about of it. There was a bigger part of it that had nothing to do with slavery. It's a sad day. It's a sad day when that's the thought process. It's a sad day when that's the thought process of people in this country, that you can actually get on national TV and say that the best parts of America, the best parts, and the successes of this country are due to white America. That's what he said. Y'all read it for yourself. Once again, take some time throughout the day and Google Steve King for yourself. Steve King. Just do it. Do yourself a favor and recognize the thought process. The only difference between now and then is that now there are no physical chains, but the mental ones and the thought processes are still the same. Remember what I said to you all about how people keep saying we're in a better place? How people keep saying the country is way different than it was before? No. People's hearts have not changed. The law says you can no longer own slaves. The law does not designate your thinking. And the thinking of quite a few white folks in this country is that we were better off in this country when folks who look like me still had to report and kowtow to folk that look like them. Now, that's the truth. You can get mad if you want to, but that's the truth. That's the real truth. And it's sad. But I tell you what, y'all let that fool Donald Trump get in office. And I'm going to tell you this here too. And I would tell all of my African-American brothers and sisters, even those of you who don't even like guns, I will tell you this. Y'all better go get you some before they change the law. Because now that we have black folks committing these mass shootings, notice they're using the same guns that these other folks was using. Now that they have them using the guns, I promise you the law gonna change real quick. Now, I'm simply telling you this for this reason and this reason only. These people believe that they are better than us. They still believe that we are less than a full human being. They don't like us. They don't like our successes. They don't like anything about us. They would rather them be in charge and us still be out in the field. The difference is the cotton fields no longer exist, at least not physically. Trust me when I tell you, there is a strong, strong belief by certain people in this country that we don't deserve where we've gotten or how we got there, and if we are there, that they ought to get credit and we ought to be grateful for just where we are. We ought to be grateful. Can I say this and move on? The only thing I'm grateful for is God. I don't owe y'all jack, and we don't owe you jack. If anything, we're still old. Don't get me started on reparations. Let's move on. Oh, my God. Let's move on. It just boggles my mind. So when you get a chance, please go check out this representative Stephen King. of Iowa. Just check him out. Just do a Google search. Representative Steve King of Iowa. He is a prime representative of what's still wrong with this country. A prime representative of what's still wrong in our country. But let's move on. Let's keep it going. We do have a great topic for today's show. Very good topic for today's show. And it is good. Six powerful secrets to unleashing your ministry best. But before I get to that, this week I've been participating in the Illinois State Baptist Convention. It's their normal convention. I believe it's the State Missionary Baptist. I always get it wrong. You know, it's a million conventions when it comes to churches and stuff like that. And I never get the name right. Let me make sure I get the name right for this convention. Yeah. But it started this week on Monday. I've been sitting in there. So we have these meetings. It's a joint session, and it's all of the churches who are a part of this convention. You know, we get together, and you know, we sit and they discuss things. And the title for this year's convention is Rebuilding the Image of the Church. That's the title for the convention. Rebuilding the Image of the Church. And part of that is the question comes is, well, what's wrong with the image of the church? So some people took that theme. So yesterday we had a speaker on the theme, and he talked about the church universal and that there's nothing wrong with the universal image of the church. But then it was a different perspective is what's wrong with the local image of the church. And so we had this good debate. I sat in the room with a bunch of pastors, and I always tell you, I always find it a privilege to sit at the feet of learned people. So I sat in the room with some seasoned pastors who have been pastoring for 30 plus years. You know, I had over 100 years worth of experience sitting in this one room. And it's interesting to get the thought processes of some of these ministers, because some don't believe there's anything wrong with the image of the church, of the local church. So the president, Sidney Davis, that's his name, the president of the convention, Sidney Davis, said that the question has been asked, what is the local church doing about what's going on in the community? And this is an answer that I got from one of the pastors. He said to me that is a trick question, and that it's a question that the church shouldn't have to answer. And I'm not going to throw him under the bus, because I want to give him a chance to come on the show. So we've invited him on the show. There was a confusion with the email. He didn't know what was what. Now he knows. So we're just going to try to get him in. And I want to give him a chance to come in. And he's actually a good guy. I've known him for years. But he has a different perspective. He says that he believes that part of the reason that the church has become ineffective in the community is because of the laws that have been passed. Now, I don't want to screw his quote up to me, but what he said was the reason that the churches have become so ineffective is because there's so many other avenues that children are no longer being taught morals, because the church was the one who was responsible years ago and back in the day that was responsible for teaching morals to the community. And now, because there's so many things pulling children away from the church, that they're being allowed to do all these other things, but there are no morals being taught in the church. Now, that has some validity. Some. But I really want to get him on the show. So I'm going to work real hard this week. I'll see him again on tomorrow. I'll see him again later today. Actually, when I leave the show, I'm headed back to the convention. I'll see him again today, and I'll try to get him down to a date to be on the show. So, you know, just be ready to have him on. He's a good guy, and I really want to have him on the show. But he said that because there's so many different mandates where kids are being pulled away from the church. He talked about how Vacation Bible School used to be 2 and 3 weeks long. And, you know, now I never participated in it when I was a kid, so I don't recall that. But, hey, I'm going to take his word for it. He's been doing this for 25, 30 years. He said, but in the summertime, there was so much stuff that had kids' attention in the church that they didn't have time to get a lot of other things. I don't know if I agree with that. But anyway, let's just jump. give me your thoughts on that, and we'll move on. We'll move on. Give me your thoughts on that. But we'll move on. We'll keep going. So I want to jump right into today's conversation. 6 powerful secrets to unleash your ministry best. We're live on Facebook. We're live on. Let me make sure the chat room is open. All right, the chat room is open on Ustream. The emails are open. I appreciate you. If you want to send an email to the show, feel free to do that. But let me just jump right into today's conversation about ministry, and this should be good. 6 powerful secrets to unleash your ministry best. The writer is William Mancini. Will Mancini. This is on churchleaders.com. It's under the article for pastors. And it's pretty good. I think you're going to get some out of this. And this is what I always tell people. If you follow us on Facebook, you can get the articles. Churchleaders.com is a wonderful resource. It is a wonderful resource for ministry. I don't care what type of church you go to. I don't care if it's Kojic. I don't care if it's Methodist, AME, Baptist, Episcopalian, whatever. It doesn't matter what church you go to. There's wonderful ministry information on this website. You are missing out if you don't take some of the wonderful information from churchleaders.com. It's just good stuff. It's good stuff. You know what? Print something out and share it with your pastor. Just say, Pastor, look, I was reading this article. I was listening to this crazy dude on this radio show. You can tell him about me. It's fine. I was listening to this crazy guy on the radio, and he was going through this article, and actually the article is pretty good. Churchleaders.com. Churchleaders.com. Good stuff. Good stuff. The writer says, he says, I couldn't resist calling these secrets. He says, why? Well, they are. They are such a missing practice in ministry today. They functionally behave like secrets. You be the judge. So this is what the writer said. Secret number one. He says, ask God for supernatural insight into your ministry best. The writer says, God already knows what you can do best because he created you to do it. Every other step in this process fails without a spirit of great dependence on God and the full realization that ministry is a stewardship not derived from you. He says, peer into your history, reflect on your identity, and gaze at your strengths and pray for vision. Now watch this. This is really simple. Look at the things you do really, really well, is what he's saying. Look at the things you do best, and then pray to God that he shows you how to use those things, your gifting. It's talking about your gifts. Use the things that you do well, and then allow him to help you expand on those things. That's good. That's real good. Do you understand what that is? I like what he says. He says, reflect on your identity and gaze at your strength. There are people who have a gift. I'm not calling it a spiritual gift. I'm just calling it gifts. There are people who have gifts who can walk into a room and say, wow, I can tell you exactly what this room needs. There are people who can read a paper and go, I can tell you exactly how this should be worded. There are people who can look at numbers and instantly in their head, these numbers automatically generate something and they go, wow, I can tell you what you're missing. I can tell you how to grow this. There are people who can look at your business model and say, okay, you have a great model. Let me show you how to make it better. There are people who can walk into your church and sit in your service and go, you have a great service. You have a great pastor. Let me tell you how we can grow. Let me tell you what I can do to help your ministry grow. Because God has gifted people to do these things. So if you're in ministry and you're able to do these things, especially in a ministry, whether it be a youth ministry, usher ministry, trustee board, deacon, whatever your status is in your church, God gifted you to do some things. Don't work outside of your gifts. Some people have a heart for community. Some people don't. Those of you who do, allow God to use you and pray that he gives you vision and insight into that particular gift. This is good. Number two, secret number two, he says. He says, define your ministry best with great clarity. With great clarity. He says, have you found that amazing place where the right words symbolically yet powerfully capture your ministry best? He said, great leaders usually do. And they know it's worth sacrificing the time for eternal wrestling and outside coaching. Clarity isn't everything, but it changes everything. So this is really simple. Ask for God to give you clarity. So watch this. After God gives you vision, then you need to ask for clarity. Say, okay, God, I know that's where you want me to be. Now, God, I need you to be a little bit more specific. I ain't going to say Pacific. You know, some of y'all like to talk about the ocean. Be more Pacific. But I'm just simply saying, ask God to be specific in what he has for you to do. There's nothing wrong with asking God for clarity. Nothing at all. Asking God to say, okay, God, I see where you have me. I see where you sent me. Now, God, show me. That's why it's so important when God gives you a move to someplace, when he tells you to move, once you get there, now you pray and say, okay, God, now show me the right folks to work with. Ain't nothing wrong with that. See, we ask God to send us someplace. And we ask him for direction. And then when he sends us there, then we forget when we get there to continue to ask God, now, God, show me the right people. God, put me in front of the right people when I go to this place. God, send me to the right man or woman to help this ministry, to help further this ministry. God, help me point out the people in the congregation that can help your vision come to fruition. So there's nothing wrong with asking for clarity. There is nothing wrong with asking for clarity. It's no different. As a minister, when God gives me a word and he gives me a scripture, I say, okay, God, now you gave me a scripture. Now give me some clarity. What is it that you want me to share with this group of people? Because, see, when you wrote it, it was for those people. So how can I then take this scripture and make it and help these people over here with it? That's clarity. That's clear. That's you saying, God, now, God, I got the knowledge. Now, God, give me wisdom. Come on, somebody. Help me. Let's go. This is good. Let's go. Number three. Again, we're talking about six secrets. Six powerful secrets to unleash your ministry best. Number three. Refine your leaders. Understanding of your ministry best with great patience. It says, refine your leaders. Okay. He says, be confident in this. Leaders always overestimate how much their team gets it. Let me repeat that. Leaders always have a tendency to overestimate how much their team gets it. Oh, my God. I'm going to get all in this. He says, check out Jesus' ministry to strengthen this point. He says, your tools to create understanding are time and dialogue. Make the time. Tee up the dialogue. Start with your inner circle. When they are clear, get every leader in your ministry together and watch this. Do it again. Oh, my God. He says, you are not done with this process until everyone responsible for money or people in your ministry is clear. Don't miss that. As a leader, it is your responsibility to make sure that everybody recognizes and knows your vision. It is your responsibility as a leader. And then I like what the writer says. He says, even when they are clear, put them all together again and do it again and make sure that they got it. How many of y'all doing that? And this ain't just for church. This is business. This is in the secular world and in the spirit and in ministry. You need to make sure if you are running a business, watch this now. If you are running a business and it's your business, it's your job to make sure that everybody understands the purpose and your vision. You can't just sit behind the desk and say, here is our vision, and then you never do anything to reinforce, or like the writer says, to refine that vision to make sure that from the top down, everybody knows it. You know what I like about Mariano's, the grocery store? You know what I love about Mariano's, the grocery store? Is that everybody in the store recognizes the vision of the owner of Mariano's. You know why? It could be from the lowest person down. If you're walking through that store for the first time and you got this look on your face like you don't know where something is, I promise you, because of the training and because it's constantly embedded in them, somebody is going to ask you, can I help you find something? When you get ready to check out, if you've ever been going there just to buy a pack of gum, I'm serious. When you get to the checkout line, the person who rings you up is going to ask you this one question. Were you able to find everything that you needed? What would happen if we asked that question in the church? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What would happen if we ask that question in the church, if we ask that question at the end of the service, if we had our people or if we as leaders got up off our butts and stood and said, how? I hope we were able to help you with something. Do you feel, as a leader, I know it may seem like a lot, but stand at the back door and say, do you think you'll be able to make it out next week? Did you hear something this week was there something that infiltrated your brain, your mind, your spirit that will have you thinking about coming back next week? Did I say something that may inspire you to bring somebody with you next week? That's a real question. That's a real question. Did you find everything that you needed? Was there something you came in search of that you were supplied with on today? There's nothing wrong with sitting down with your ministry, with your leadership team, and saying, do you all really understand what it is we are trying to do? And are we all on the same page? We might not may all agree, but at least we know where we're all headed. I may not agree with every path you take or the method that we get there, but at least if I know where we're going. If you say we headed downtown and we gonna catch the L, and I say that the car is quicker, and somebody else says, well, we can all catch an Uber, and somebody else says, well, we can catch this, at least I all know the destination. You get what I'm saying? But if I show up and we don't even know the destination, you can't get mad when I start asking questions. Oh, my God. Huh? You can't get mad when folks start asking questions when they don't know they don't know the direction. It's just a simple thing. Get in the car and let's go. Well, where are we going? Where are we going? Because, see, let me help you. You ain't God, and I ain't Abraham saying, get thee to a place where I'll show you. Huh? I got to ask you some questions. I need some clarity. I need a little clarity, Doc. I need a little clarity. Help me. I need a little information. I need a little insight into the direction that you're trying to take. I just need to know. Because, see, at least if I know where we're going. Come on, somebody. Huh? Because if I know where we're going, I can see how I can contribute. That's all right. Oh, my God, my God. And then I like what he says. You are not done with this process until everyone responsible is clear. So you as a leader aren't done with the process of constantly retelling people and rehashing and constantly putting out what your vision is until everybody is clear. That's good. That's good right there. Oh, my goodness. This is good. Let's keep going. Again, we're talking about six powerful secrets to unleash your ministry best. Six powerful secrets to unleash your ministry best. This is good. If you've got a question or comment, you're already listening on the line, just push one. You can be a part of the show. If you're watching on Facebook, let me make sure I put the number up. Let me make sure I put the number up on Facebook Live. Let me do this real quick. If you want to call in to the show, you can do it real simple. That's the call-in number right there. You can be a part of the show right there. That's the call-in number. It's area code 347-934-0546. If you want to call into the show, that's the call-in number right there. You can be a part of the show. If you want to call in, you can definitely do that and be a part of the show if you got a question or a comment. Just saw my mama just got on Facebook. That's my mama. Hey, y'all. I'm glad she's just not late getting on, because she probably would have said something about the earlier part of the show. Amen. But let me keep going. That's what I love about Facebook Live. You know who watching. Ustream, all these folks watching, I don't know who none of y'all are. Tell me where y'all from. Y'all on Ustream. Type in the chat box. Tell me where you're watching at. Say something. Send me something. But let me keep going. Number four. Again, we're talking about six powerful secrets to unleash your ministry best. Number four. Communicate. There's that word. Communicate your ministry best to everyone with great passion. Now, let me read it again. Communicate your ministry best to everyone with great passion. The writer says, now it's time to open the floodgates. He says, weave it into every sermon. Bring it up at every meal you have with your people. Tell the story at today's meeting. Remember to increase your passion every time you tell it. He says, how do you do that? Consider what problem your ministry best solves. Stir your heart with that problem. Communicate the answer in a way that others will really feel it, not just hear it. How simple is that? If there is something you strongly believe, watch this now. If there is something you strongly believe, if God has really given you a vision for your ministry, that thing should be inherent in every sermon, every time you meet with your staff, every time you're meeting. I don't care if you just go out to lunch with three or four people. Them folks should be, they should know what your vision is every time. Let me tell you something. I'm not a member of Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. But that's where the state conference is this year. That's where the state conference is this year, and you guys know Dr. Gerald Dew. He's been on the show. Dr. Gerald Dew, wonderful, amazing pastor. And when I tell you an amazing pastor, he is an amazing pastor. And he says and does some things that I am always impressed with, I'll just say that. But I understand, just from the time I've been around him, he said this to me, and it has stuck with me because it made sense. He says this year's theme is getting from here to there. Watch this. And then from there to here. That's their thing. So he teaches people how to get from here to there. And then once you get there, how to then go from there out. So what that simply means is, and this is reinforced. You know how I know? When we were at a conference, we went to this conference, y'all know about it. It was earlier this year. We went to a conference, Devon and I, back in April. at Northern Seminary. We went to a conference. And he had about 25 members there. And when he got up to speak, he said, "What's our theme?" And they all stood up and spouted it word for word. You know why? Because it is pushed every time he speaks. Yesterday, he's the one doing the teaching in the minister's class, which I love it. I can't wait. I'm telling y'all, we won't be going over today, y'all, because I want to make sure I make it back to the South Side so I can hear what he's going to teach about today, because it was wonderful yesterday. He constantly teaches the same thing over and over again because he wants to make sure that his people get it. You know what the vision of his church is? Watch this. You know, I know this. I ain't got to. It's his vision of his church. He told me very simple. He says, it's to help others realize their full potential for the glory of God. That's the vision of Antioch Baptist Church. I ain't a member, but I know that because every time I've talked to that man, whether it's been via text, Facebook, telephone, or in person, he has said those words to me. The vision that God gave me for Antioch, he said this very simply, was to help others realize their full potential for the glory of God. Why do I know that? Why do I know that? I'm not a member of Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. But because every time I talk to Pastor Gerald Dew, I get that. In some kind of way in the conversation, he weaves that in. Every time. And that's exactly what this writer is saying. That's exactly what this writer is saying. This writer is simply saying the same thing. He says, every time you have a chance, you need to constantly push. He says, communicate it to everybody with great passion, with passion. Because once you believe that thing, you got to push it till other people start to believe it. Let me give you, you know how you hear something so many times. It's like those of you who grew up in the 70s and 80s. You know, I had the type of mother on Sundays. You know, Sundays was cleanup day. You know, when my mama, when we had stopped going to church for a little while, y'all know I tell all my business. But when we had stopped going to church for a while as a kid, Sunday was cleanup day. And Sundays, I had two responsibilities: vacuum the living room and the dining room, and dust the furniture in the living room and dining room. Those are my two responsibilities on Sunday morning for cleanup. And I never minded doing it because you turn the radio on. You know, I'm giving y'all some spoiled kid moments. But you turn the radio on, and they was playing all the old music. My mama loved her some Al Green. This was pre-Grits Al Green. But she loved... Well, I'm talking about pre-hot grits, Al Green. She loved her some Al Green. And when Al Green would come on, we'd be down in the house and singing and cleaning and dusting and all of that. But watch this. When the music came on, I still know the words to the songs because they were ingrained in me because I listened to them all the time. You know how kids, when they watch too much TV... And I was probably a kid who watched way too much TV. You remember the test for the national broadcast system? I think they do it every first Tuesday of the month. That's when we have the tornado warning things and all that stuff. But you remember the thing that comes across TV, this is the test? Now, y'all remember that? Yes, no? Some of y'all remember that? If you're watching on Facebook Live, push one. Push one if you remember that. You know, if you're in the chat room, push something, push one. Just watch this. Just type the number one. It ain't going to do nothing on your page. I just want you to type if you remember what I'm talking about. But do you remember the national, the thing that said this is a test of the national emergency broadcast system? Y'all remember that? Okay. So this is how you know you watch too much TV. I remember hearing that when it would happen on the TV. And I heard it so much that I remembered it. And when I tell you I remember it, if it came on right now, and I remember it, this is how you know when people are reiterating their thoughts and their visions that your people will get it, because they will know it when they hear it. I can tell you right now, y'all going to think I'm crazy, but I'm going to go ahead and do it for you. See if this brings some memory to you, if this pops back into your remembrance. First, there'd be this really long tone, right? And then you'd get the bars on the screen. Watch this. It says these following words. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. The broadcasters of your area, in voluntary cooperation with federal, state, and local authorities, y'all know I ain't reading this, have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this had been an actual emergency, the attention signal you just heard would have been followed by official news and further instructions. This station serves the Northeast Illinois area. This concludes this test of the emergency broadcast system. Now, why do I know that? Because I heard it so many times. I heard it so many times that it is ingrained in me. It is ingrained. So now when I hear it on TV, I look forward to it because I read it, I do it word for word, verbatim. Now y'all go, that's a bunch of useless information. Yes, it is. I used it as an example of when you hear something enough, you start to follow it. You recognize it when you hear it. So pastors and leaders, if you aren't constantly reinforcing that vision, then your people are never going to get it. Let me read this Facebook comment. Oh, my God. Kimberly Rutherford. Oh, my God. I didn't tell y'all. I ain't got enough time to tell y'all about Kim. But it says, hi, Dana. Really enjoyed the show. Got to get back to my class. Yes, I, too, was inflicted with the alcohol. Kim Rutherford. Grammar school. I over the last few days, you guys, I have reconnected with like my grammar school friends via Facebook. It has been wonderful talking with some of them. It's absolutely amazing because it's crazy. And I'm gonna tell y'all a real quick story. Kim Rutherford and I, when we were in kindergarten, I'm gonna take y'all way back. When we were in kindergarten, we had to do a performance. It was either kindergarten or first grade. I want to say it was first grade actually. It was first grade, and she played Gladys Knight. My mama still got the picture. If she got the picture, I will post this picture. I don't care how embarrassing it is for me. I will post the picture. She has this picture of Kim dressed as Gladys Knight, and I was a pip. I was one of the pips in the background. Yeah, I know. Y'all pray for me. But let's keep going. Oh, my God. I don't know who this is calling during the show. Y'all know not to call me during the show. I ain't answering the phone, interrupting Facebook Live. So I apologize for that. Phone ringing in the middle of the show. They know better. Anyway, let's keep going. Number five. And again, we're talking about six powerful secrets to unleash your ministry best. Number five. It says, consistently change, modify, or tweak the least effective 1/3 of what you are doing in light of your ministry best. He says, does this sound hard? It's really not when you've done the first four practices well. He says, in fact, this can be a lot of fun once the leadership team is aligned. To help you identify the bottom 1/3 of your ministry activity, work as a team to place all of your ministries in three buckets, ranked A, B, and C. Be courageous. Now, that's real. See, that's true effective leadership. Looking at all the things, put them in bucket A, B, and C, and then look at the things that you're not doing that well, and don't be afraid to say, okay, this ain't working, let's tweak it or get rid of it. You have to consistently be willing to make adjustments and changes. These successful churches, these successful ministries you see, they are not afraid to make changes, no matter how radical or minuscule they might be. You cannot be afraid to make changes when necessary. You can't be. Because here's the deal. You can't just sit back and go and say, here is the ministry. This is what it is. And this is what we're going to do. And then 3 or 4 years down the line, two of these things no longer work. They're completely ineffective. They're just something on the calendar. And you just keep doing them anyway. Huh? I can talk about that forever, but I ain't got that kind of time. But y'all know I'm telling the truth. I love this. This article. Let me go and hit the print button, because this article will get printed out. I ain't kidding today. This article will get printed, because I mean, this is just good, real information. It is. It's just really good information, and we can't be afraid to use it. You can't be afraid to use it. Let's keep going. It says number six, last one. Reinforce the awareness and appreciation of your ministry best. Reinforce the awareness and appreciation of your ministry best. The writer says, pray about it daily. Remind people about it weekly. Celebrate it monthly. If you start doubting it, go back to secret number one. Don't let the idea of being best put pressure on you. Remember that the foundations of a ministry best is God's work. He is the power source. He brings the fruit. Stay completely connected to and dependent on Him. If you take these secrets seriously, it will be very important to stay connected to Jesus to keep your success from going to your head. What does that mean? What does that mean? Let me help you. Let's say you do a program. And the program does very well. And then the next year you come back with the same program. And then the program doesn't do that well. It does okay, but it's not as great. But it's not a failure. It's not okay. But it does okay. So then the following year, well, it's still doing okay. You come back and bring it again. Because see, here's the problem. You've excluded God from the program the second and the third and the fourth time. The second, third, and the fourth time, you come back with the same program and you expect it to succeed doing the same things, but you did not include God in the program. And then you wonder why the program has either become stagnant or completely useless. You wonder why that happens. So, see, you can't be afraid to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, God, is this still something you want me to do, or does this thing need to be tweaked or changed or modified? I'm just saying, you got to be able to go back and look at the drawing board. You got to be able to go back and say, okay, the program itself is good, but maybe our approach needs to change. Maybe we do still need to have a community day, but maybe we need to change the process. Maybe we need to invite different people. Maybe I don't need to have the same speakers come and preach when I look out in the audience and half the people sleep, or most of the folk don't come back. Don't get me started on that. Look, y'all, it's time for me to go. I said I was going to be on time today. I got to get to the conference on 63rd and Stewart, Antioch, Missionary Baptist Church, Pastor Gerald M., Dr. Gerald M. Dew. I got to get back over there, y'all. It's some good learning. And look at me. I enjoy learning at the feet of some people who can teach me, because y'all know I'm slow and I'm crazy and I need all the teaching I can give. Y'all pray for me while I pray. Father God, we thank you for Wisdom Wednesday. We thank you for everything that you've been doing in our lives, God, in the lives of everyone involved in this show. God, I thank you for every listener. I thank you for every person who commented. I thank you for the Facebook people. I thank you for the Ustream people. I thank you for the Blog Talk people. I thank you for those listening via the phone, those listening via the website, those watching on all of the different mediums, those who emailed us, God. And God, I just want to do this too. God, I still want to send up prayers for the young lady who works with Priscilla. I don't have a name in front of me right now, but God, we want to send up prayers for her and her diagnosis a few weeks ago. We put her name, we keep her name on the altar. We do that. So look here, we thank you, God. We praise you, we love you, we extol you, we lift your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, look, y'all, two things going on. And I got something I need to talk to y'all about. I talked to y'all about it on Friday, some stuff that's coming up for me. But I will not be out on the corners today. But if you're able to make it out on the corner, I need y'all to get out on the corner, okay? Because I got two meetings I got to get to. I got a meeting I got to get to tonight, so I will not be able to make it out on the corners. But if you are able to hit any of the corners in the 15th District, please do not miss your opportunity to give back to the community. Real quick, too, shout out to all the leaders and pastors who were down at the police headquarters yesterday. We were out there doing an action where we delivered a letter to the superintendent and to the mayor. It was a good action. Shout out to Cy Fields and those guys and Reverend Marshall Hatch and the other people who put that together. It was wonderful to be out there with you guys on yesterday. But look here, I got to go. We'll be back for Praise Break Friday, and I'm hoping it's a good thing. Y'all stay blessed, man. I just rambled, and I know it's time for me to go. Y'all stay blessed, man, because we blessed. And if you're in the city of Chicago, keep your head on the swivel.
Acts chapter 16 and verse 25.
Blessed.
The Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake.
Y'all tired way back there? I thought y'all be going home by now. Y'all. Well, for those of you that come from the nice church that don't get all this loud, allow me to translate what she just said. Late in the midnight hour,
God's gonna turn it around.
It's gonna work.
It's gonna work in your soul.